Well, welcome again to Zion Alliance Church. Today we're going to continue with our sermon of the character of the Bible. One of the amazing things about this God that we're serving, you know, there are times he deals with the crowd, the big numbers. But more importantly, when you observe this God, he deals with all of us individually. You might feel nothing. You might feel, you know, at the bottom. But the truth of the matter is, this God cares about you individually. And the hope and the prayer is, as we go through this character of the Bible, that you will learn more about this God that has created us, has redeemed us. And you learn more about your values that he has put in you and on you. And as you remember, we went through the first one, Adam. We can't talk about Adam without talking about Eve. And that's why today we're going to look at the life and the ministry of Eve. And now, some of the things we need to learn about Eve. Eve also had an exceptional life. She was the first woman in the world, the first woman. You know, you have some families, everybody's a boy except you're the only girl. Is there anybody like that here? You grew up in all boy house? Who? Her cousin. Oh boy, and you're the only girl around there, right? So how does it feel? So you have this exceptional life, the first woman in the world. And amazingly, when you look at the whole creation history, she was the final piece in the intricate and amazing puzzle of God's creation. Have you ever played puzzle? Yeah, but you remember I was so ambitious. One time I bought a puzzle of 1,000 pieces, and bought a big board. So, you know what? After 30 minutes, I gave up. I can't do it. I can't do it. There are too many pieces. I just can't do it. I just want you to think about the whole world creation like a puzzle. How many pieces? Everything starts, you know, the puzzle, you start somewhere first. You start with the first piece, and you end with the last one. And as you finish the last one, the whole picture come out is complete. Eve, with all due respect, was kind of that last piece. Finally, the big puzzle were there, creation, all of a sudden, he placed it there, and was boom. Wow, here it is. That's exceptional. You were the last piece, but a very important piece. And all this sermon, along this sermon, I pray that God touch your heart, especially women, to understand that God did not wait for woman right. The woman's right in our Western atmosphere today to give you value. Your value started from the Garden of Eden. The world is trying to make you mad, to make you angry, that you no value, you no dignity. This sermon in the Bible, if you understand it, God has given so much value to women that you cannot even imagine it. And one of those values right here. And therefore, yes, my sisters, our sister, our mothers, you are the beautiful puzzle piece that God put it and give clarity to the world. And yes, she is the mother of us all, the motherhood. Another exception to woman, motherhood. I know again, in our culture today, they're making women birthing people. It's such a joke and a slap in people's faces. And you know, again and again, I try as much as possible to stay away from politics, from the pulpit. Purpose not for politics. But you know what? Something happening in society, we can really neutral way and take God's word to speak to it. You know what? The motherhood is for women. Men can try whatever way they want. Guess what? It's not true. It's only women. Motherhood is a gift. And you know what? Mother, sister, don't look down on yourself. It's a huge exception God has given you. And yes, brothers and sisters, as her descendant, you know what? We all have inherited her propensity for sin. You know what? We all have this tendency, natural tendency to sin, temptation. Yes, nothing can be perfect after sin. And yes, brothers and sisters, after talking about the exception here, what comes next for us? You know, the meaning of Eve. What does it mean? Based on my research, you know what? The meaning of Eve is to live and to give life. To live and to give life. Life-giving. What a beautiful, beautiful name. And this is why, again and again, you know, personally, all my children, where they were born, prayerfully consider their name. Name means identity. Sometimes in our Western culture, you just give a name like that because it sounds good. But I want to challenge a new generation. When God bless you with children, and you want to give them name, prayerfully consider the meaning of their name. It's very important. Because the meaning of their name is kind of promise. It's kind of blessing for their future. And therefore, never, never neglect the choice of a name. And this is why when my children were born, Joshua, my wife and I, we chose a card. I wrote, Joshua, when you grow up, you'll be able to read this card. We gave you Joshua. Joshua means God save. That's the meaning of Joshua. Joshua actually is the name for Jesus, Yeshua. So the whole point, and each one of them, Esther, we did the same thing. Hannah, the same thing. I don't know, actually, I go and do research to find the meaning. And write it in their car. When they grow up, they know why. Because, see, what happened is, as I was talking to my parent one time, my mother was barren for 2 years. And she was told completely that she would never get children. And then when, in the end, God blessed them with children, and starting with me, as I was born, they gave me the name of Noah. My name means Noah. And they say, they glean it from the Bible, saying that this child will give us rest from the labor of the ground, of the field. And as you know, my parents were farmers and pastors, that they pray for me, I'll be the Noah, to help them give release. Blessing, because in Mali, 45 degrees Celsius under the sun, farming the ground like that, it's never easy. And then as they explained this name to me, it changed my life. I took as a mission to help my parents with whatever money I have. If I can give money, take a phone call, that I will be this rest to my parents, not a burden to them. And it really, really changed my dynamic. And this is why, brothers and sisters, as you give name to your children, have an opportunity to sit down with them and explain to them why you give this name and make it a prayer for their life. And you watch. Because it's their identity. And this is why in this thing, the meaning means it helps us. And then go and Google the meaning of your own name. It's not never late. You're still alive. Audrey, what about you go and check out what Audrey means? What does it mean?
Noble and strong.
Noble and strong. And that's why you're noble and strong like this. You see? And then the whole point is this. For some of us, if you don't know the meaning of your name, take advantage of this and go and Google it. And prayerfully, oh, Lord, I didn't know that was the meaning of my name. Guess what? Today, I want you to speak this word and blessing in my life now. And you will see what happened. And yes, brothers and sisters, see, this reflects Eve's role as a mother of all living, as stated in Genesis 3:20. And as we see her name, we come to Eve being created to be a helper for Adam. Genesis now 2:15-25, just trying to shorten it to fit to our need. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. The puzzle, the one last piece of puzzle, still not there. The puzzle was like this. But God, there's one piece I'm looking for, it's not there. You understand the puzzle now. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Final is complete. And yet, Eve was created to be a suitable helper for Adam. And that helped. You see, but before that, we understand that yes, she was created from the rib. But what does it mean? This marks the completion of God's creation again and again. It was one piece. One piece. It didn't take two. And I know again and again sometimes I don't want to criticize other religion, our pagan religion. You can take four, how many wives you need. There's another major religion in the world, you can take up to four wives. But you see, I know, scientifically speaking, how many ribs do we have? How many ribs? Do you know how many ribs? No. Is it 33? How many ribs?
12.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. So out of 12, on each side. Out of 12, well, God could have taken 4, right? I don't know. It's possible. But he took one. So all the people are going to polygamy. Look, God did just one rib, not two. Two, you couldn't sustain it. He took one. It's only one. So the creation is completed with one rib. And then it highlights a deep connection between a man and a woman. Deep connection. This is where our connection comes. It took from you. Woman is from us. Touching a woman is touching yourself. Hurting her is hurting yourself. Blessing her is blessing yourself. Understand that. But in some culture, you can beat her like a dog. I know even here, you don't beat a dog, right? I had to figure out my illustration. You can't beat dog even here, right? But in mother, you can beat a dog. And he will come back and say hello to you again. Eh? So loyal. And then there, in many cultures, you can be. I've in Mali, I saw so many women being beaten in the street by the police station. They dare to beat their wives, their sister, in front of a police station. Police won't do anything because they don't value them at all. And therefore, for us Christians here, understand, you can get mad at each other. But still remember, this is my rib. If I hurt her in my word and in my physical action, in my mind, I'm hurting her. But truly, if you love your wife, you're hurting yourself. Figure it out, because your connection is so deep. Because this is how God designed it. And yes, this connection emphasizes the unity and completeness of humanity. This shows us that men and women together fully reflect the image of God. The image of God. When you look at a woman, Sorry, don't sexualize her like it's so done in so many religious contexts and many cultures. You see, women, they only think of sexual immorality. For us Christian, biblically, look at woman as created in the image of God like a man. That's how it is. To show dignity, to show respect to her. And this is true everywhere we go. In church circle, in society, if you are addicted to sex, every woman you see, you only see, No. She is in the image of God. Very important for all of us to understand. And yes, brother and sister, you see, Eve creation highlights the importance of companionship and community. For the first time in the Bible, for the first time in the creation story, it is not good show up. Look at this. Genesis 2:18 already. When God created everything, like the first day, everything was good. But again and again, when you look at your puzzle and you see one piece is missing, it's not good. For the first time, it's not good show up right here in the Bible. You read pass on it, you don't even realize it. But this is critical. This is very important. The first time, it is not good in the Bible right here. It is not good for a man to be alone. It is this part, we need to have this missing piece of a puzzle. If we don't do it, we don't get it, it's not good. Everything is good, but still something is not there. So it's not good for men to be alone. God did not create us to be lonely. Man. And then the same thing had to be said about the woman being created in the image of God. It's not good for you to be alone. Now, God, we are all created for relationships, both with God and with each other. With each other. Does this mean that we're all going to be married? No, Jesus himself was not married. We know John the Baptist, we didn't hear about a wife for John the Baptist. We didn't hear about a wife of Paul. But we do hear Paul had, Silas, Timothy, relationship, spiritual relationship. For some of us, yes, we all have this, gift of being married. But don't worry, as Paul, John the Baptist, and then Paul, has shown us that, you know what, you can have a fulfilled life if you have been married, but you have a relationship with God and with God's family, your physical family, your friend. But it's important to know that it was not good for people to be living alone. It's not good for you to think you're sufficient to yourself. You need companionship and you need community. And how is it working for you? How your relationship with God and with people around you? You're not born, and that's why, you see, we always said, we are all born in a family. The reason why God makes us all born in a family is to highlight this relationship and this community thing. And therefore, as you are growing physically and spiritually, how are you doing with your relationship? Some people are struggling in the relationship. And that's why I would tell people, yes, if you don't know how to build a relationship, you have a hard life. Because this is reality. This is how God made it. God made it clear it's not good. So anybody who don't have a relationship with people and God, it's not good. You will end up using drugs. You will end up killing yourself. And unfortunately, this is the case of so many people. Relationship, have it. Because it makes your life complete. It gives meaning to your life. Your life is not meant to be on an island, physically and spiritually. Learn to get along with people. And yes, brothers and sisters, you see, no subordination, but complementary relationship between a man and a woman. What does it mean? You see, God created Eve to be a helper fit for Adam. Eve was not subordinated to Adam. It was not, okay, Adam is here, Eve is at the bottom. It's not like that. They were there equally to complement each other. Let's understand that. Women are not there for you to lord over them. Sometimes we misunderstand what scripture is saying. You see, yes, when the Bible says, why be submissive to your husband? Don't forget, the Bible continues to say, husband, love your wife like Christ did love his church. Don't forget that Christ sacrificed his life for the church. Any husband who sacrifices himself for her husband, his wife, that wife had no problem to obey some of the ideas that come from that husband. That's how it works. But a husband has never shown how much he loves his wife. Whatever you want to say, your wife will never take it seriously. That's very simple to understand. If you want your wife to respect you, you want your wife to show dignity to you, you got to show your wife, not only in word, but in true action, that you really love your wife. That's how it works. But the problem is when you just focus on, no, you have to be submitted to me. That's what the Bible said. Oh, no, that's not the whole thing. The Bible continue that you, if you want your wife to be submissive, you need to love your wife. Where the love part? Show it. If your love part is not there, your wife will have hard time to submit herself to you. And guess what? It's submitting to each other. That's where it's complementary. And how many times I want to do something, my wife politely, quietly will tell, Nuhum, have you thought about this? In 100% cases, she's right. She's right. Listen to her. There are times I want to do this, she will say no. And I'll back off. Because I know I might be angry now, but along the way, many years to come, I will see her point, and it happened. And this is why, husband, don't go on your high horse, or you're a head. You're going to break yourself and break your family for nothing. Because this is the wife that God has given you to help you to succeed. And your brother and sister, you see, yes, she was not created to be subordinate to you. But he was a strong supportive partner who complemented Adam in every way. And this is where husband, a wife, understand the call that God has for your husband. If you want to be a supporter, a partner, to complement, you got to understand what the call God has for your husband. You need to talk. You need to find out. And then vice versa. As you complimenting each other, husband, try to find out, what is God call for my wife so that I can support her? I'll give you a concrete example. Before I was married, I had this idea to build a school in Mali. I did. Because, in fact, the idea to build a school in Mali, it started before I came to Canada. In 2000, while I was in Africa, I spent a whole day running from village to village, trying to find a vacant land where I can potentially build a school. This was in 2000. Finally, I made here in Canada in 2001. In the end, I got married in 2006. In 2006, during our honeymoon, I pull up a paper and say, Karen, thank you so much for marrying me. But this is a big idea God has put on my heart for a long time, to build a school in Mali. What do you think? Right away, she said, no, that's a great idea. I'll do everything I can to help you. Long story short, a few months later, we flew down to Mali together and worked together on it. A year later, she also sat down with me. Nuhum, you know, you might not know this. I'm a family doctor, yes, but I did do obstetric. I studied obstetric to be a family doctor obstetrician. But because of my mission work in Mali, I gave up a little bit of obstetrician side. I would like to renew that part of my medicine. But it will take a lot of work, because when you are dealing with pregnant women, officially they might say, well, the due date is this. But you'll be surprised. 2 weeks earlier, oh, she is in the hospital. So your plan, you plan something like this, it might change. Are you okay with it? I say, Karen, by God's grace, I'll do everything to support you in that. She supported me in my ministry of school in Mali. There are so many times I want to go and get coffee with YK, but I can't. I'm planning with coffee, all of a sudden, no home. Can you take care of the children? Because I have to go and attend my patient in the hospital. YK, I'm sorry I can't come, because I have to save the children. Flexibility. The bottom line is, we understood and we support each other. And this is the call from God's word through Adam and Eve, that when you are in a marital relationship, be flexible with each other. Be supportive of each other. But it all starts, you have to do your homework. You have to be open your dialogue. As a wife, what is your garden God has given you? And your husband had to understand that gardening that God has given you. And yes, for you, the wife, you have to understand what the garden God has given to a husband. And your role is to support your husband in that. Is it going to be perfect? No. But I tell you, by God's grace, you will be a blessing to each other and a blessing to your community, a blessing to your family, a blessing to your church, and a blessing to the world. Partnership, supporting each other. Yes, in all this, also we learn about Eve failure. She, beautiful, the role is there. But guess what? Her failure. When we go to Genesis chapter, 3, 6 to 21, we already read this last time. We won't read this again. But you know where she was tempted. The fruit was beautiful. You were going to give wisdom. She looked at it, she touched it, she ate it, gave one to her husband, and guess what? Consequences follow. You know the story there. But some of the lessons I'm going to learn from that is this, brother and sister, focus on all God has given you, not on the little you lack. Adam was given all this multiple fruit. This is why I asked you, how many type of bananas are in the world? How many type of fish are there? God did not create in only even one type, multiple types. But all were not enough. It's just the little fruit that was there in the middle of there was still there. And this is our problem. And I can relate to this. I don't want to buy another pair of shoes. You know me, I show you where I have the shoes. This is, sorry, what happened? Huh? Yeah, you see? So you understand? What happened? No signal. Okay. Thank you so much. So you see that again. I said, look at my shoes. I have so many shoes. Oh no, but I just this one is lacking. The blue one. After the blue, I just need the red one. The red one will be so good. It keep going. At a certain time, I didn't want to slap myself. Just stop this. I don't know what's yours, but we all are in this struggle. God has blessed us with so many. But we focus on what we lack. And therefore, is not trusting God's provision and timing. Eve's decision to eat the fruit can be seen as an act of impatience. A desire to gain wisdom and knowledge outside of God's timing. Lord, the Lord wants to bless each one of us, but wait according to his timing. That's fruit. That's this. Don't try to grab it outside God's will. And God timing. When you do that, you're going to get yourself into trouble. We are often tempted to take matters in our own hand, but Eve's story reminds us that God's timing is perfect and his plan are for our ultimate good. Stick to that. That's a matter of faith. Leave the red shoe there. The black shoe you have, the brown one out there, he says that should be enough, Audrey. Because the fact is this, 20 years from now, February the 1st, you won't remember what type of shoes you're wearing. What's the point? Right? So, and patience and trust in God's provision are key to living a life that honors God. And yes, brothers and sisters, this is what Diana writes. Eve disobedient to God's command not to eat from the tree of knowledge is a powerful reminder of the importance of obedience. Her decision to ignore God's instruction led to immediate and long-lasting consequences, affecting not only her and Adam, but all of humanity. This teaches us that God's commands are given for our good, and straying from them can lead to spiritual and physical harm. You got it? Death came to give childbirth into suffering came, killing each other came. So all the consequences came because she did not obey. And yes, brother and sister, but in all this, in spite of the failure, what did we learn from this? We learn about God's mercy and his grace, as I mentioned to you during the communion. God's grace and mercy at work in our failure. What did happen? God promised in all this that, you know what? He will crush your head. He stands for Jesus Christ here that we see in the small seed right there in Genesis 3:15. You know, that's the son, the woman, you know, offspring. And all of a sudden you go to he, not she. And that's where we glean the fact that yet he's coming about Jesus Christ will, hey, you know, crush your head. And yes, brothers and sisters, God mercy show up that, you know what, the Lord God made garment of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. He's the one, the grace is here. What Adam and Eve couldn't do for themselves, they couldn't cover their nakedness. God himself made sacrifice. He sacrificed an animal. Later sacrificed Jesus Christ to cover our shame. And yes, brothers and sisters, you see, Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. This is after Eve failed. This is what, it stood out to me. Many men at this point will say, Eve is French. You see, I'm going between French and English here now. Many men will say, you know what, woman, I have nothing to do with you anymore. Before you were here, yes, I was lonely, I was alone, but I have everything at my disposal. Because of this, you proved me in a mess. Take your way, I take my way. No. Adam still went on after all this and say, you know what, I name you Eve, and you will become the mother of all living. What grace and mercy from Adam, imitating his maker God. Yes, your husband, your wife will get some trouble to your life, but it's not enough to say, you know what, get away from me. Still show mercy and grace like Adam have shown, God has shown. And yes, brother and sister, you see, it reminds us that even in our failures, God's grace is at work redeeming our mistake and restoring what was lost. This is with God that we serve. This is what with God we worship. And in all this, understands is that God honors woman. That's one of the key lessons that show up in this lesson about Eve. You know, Eve's creation and her role in the Bible offer profound insight in the dignity and purpose of woman in God's kingdom. You have the woman play such a key role in God's kingdom. And yes, starting with Proverbs 31, anybody knows a woman of noble character in Proverbs 31? Go and read it today. You'll be amazed the way the Bible describes a woman in this chapter. I never seen a chapter about men like this, only women. It's called the woman of noble character. Go to Proverbs 31 and read the whole chapter. And you'll be amazed, woman, how God has highlighted your nobility and your dignity. And yes, brothers and sisters, see, women are called to be life giver, nurturer, and partner in God's work of creation and redemption. The partnership is there. Therefore, again and again, as you are dignified, you are called noble character in spite of your imperfection. This is the way God honors women. And this, guess what? It comes to Jesus Christ himself in his life and his ministry. When you look his life and his ministry, how Jesus has honored women, start from his genealogy. Five women are notably included in Jesus' genealogy in the Gospel of Matthew. Who are the five women? Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary. Wow. If this genealogy were written by human being, they would take away this woman. Oh, no, no, no. They shouldn't be there. But Jesus, through his Father, the God, had honored woman. Just go and check it. From Matthew 1:1-17, you see this five name there. And yes, in all this, you see, Mary was Jesus' earthly mother. Matthew 1:16, you see there. And yes, yes, Jesus preached the gospel to a Samaritan woman in his ministry. This woman was married to multiple men. Jesus did not say, not only racially, culturally, we're different. Jesus crossed the cultural and the geographical distance. And then the spiritual one, where everybody was running away from her, Jesus came and spoke to her and showed her the gospel. And she gave her life. And she became a preacher in her own community and brought many people to the Lord. Jesus did not run away from her. And yes, brother and sister, on his cross, Jesus asked his disciple John to look after his mother. You and I, when we're suffering, we don't see anybody. We see everybody as a betrayer. The idea that in your own suffering, you are caring for another person, and that person happened to be a woman, Mary. That shows how much you dignify women. Brothers and sisters, this gospel is amazing. Such amazing God we have. That instead of saying, oh, pity on me. No, no, no. In his suffering, he's still caring for women, for mother. And yes, a woman called Mary Magdalene was the first person to see and to talk to Jesus at his resurrection. Go to John 20:1-18. You see the whole story. When Jesus came back to life, Mary Magdalene, she went to the tomb. Jesus spoke to her, a woman. And yes, brother and sister, the first Christian in Europe was a woman called Lydia in Philippi. Acts 16:11-15. The whole European continent, go there. From France to Europe, the first convert to Christianity, her name was Lydia. And happened that my mother's name is Lydia. And this is why that story touched me again, the meaning of name. And this is, you see, how much through Eve, Jesus, God, honor all the women. And therefore, when you hear this, the question is, so what for you and for me? What do we do? What do we do? The people God honor, God the Father honor, God Jesus Christ honor. You see that the proof are here. The rest is us. Let us honor women. You and me. Let us honor women. Yes, they are beautiful, created in God's image. They came to give us clarity to the whole puzzle of the creation. And yes, let honor women. They are our sisters. They are our mothers. Let's honor them. And yes, they are our life givers and our helper. Each one of us. How much help you have received from your mother. I will never forget, along my education, as I was far away from my parents, my mother would sit down and write a letter to me and put a verse. And one of the verses that always show up in her letter to me, Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Anytime I come to my Bible, I come to Psalm 21, immediately my mother picture show up to me, because she's how she touched my life. It's 121. You can remember story of what God had done to you for you through your mother. Yes, brothers and sisters, they are God's servant of blessing to everyone, to everything. Are they perfect? No. We just talked about e failure. But through their failure, my brother, my sister, God's mercy and his grace has shown up. And through that, you and I receive God's mercy and his grace. Let's extend that to our mothers, to our sisters, whether they're physical sister or spiritual sister. Everywhere you go, show respect and dignity to women when you see them. In Jesus' name, amen.